your Bible, 2 Peter, find that place if you will. And we're glad that you're here tonight. Trust you come looking for a blessing. What's that, sweetheart? No. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Continue to pray. I failed to mention Miss Donna is still home. She's having a tough time at it, healing with her wrist, and she's having difficulty sleeping at night because of the pain and the swelling, and so it's causing her wrist is causing a lot of problems for her. And so, if you would like to send her a text message, give her a phone call. You know, she might be sleeping during the day, trying to catch up. It's very difficult when you can't sleep. You usually end up when you're in pain and you can't sleep at night. Eventually, you do crash. And that's not very pleasant, but she is would probably be encouragement if you would reach out to her and at least text her, call her, and say, hey, just a minute or two. Doesn't have to be long. Just let you know we're praying for you. We care and are concerned about your health and recovering and all this. And so I know they would appreciate that. I can give you her phone number if you want that. If you need her phone number, please see me, and I'll make sure that you can you'll have her phone number, as well as Brother John's, and they would appreciate that a great deal. You're in 2 Peter, and we want to go to chapter number 2 and verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, and bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And man shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingering not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let's pray. Father, bless the time, bless the hour now. Speak to our hearts through your word. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Also pray, I have an eye appointment tomorrow. I have to go to the eye doctor. I'm going to get my eyes checked. A few things are going on with my eyes. The most important thing that's going on with my eyes is I can't see. So that's always a difficult thing. Amen. You should see me driving. All right. As we look here at the Word of God tonight, as we study it, we see the Apostle Peter is warning a second thing. And this one is avoiding false teachers by understanding false teachers, avoiding false teaching by understanding false teachers. And it is a dangerous thing to fall in line with somebody who is a false prophet, a false teacher. They abound today, and they've always been out there, but because of the internet, it was difficult years ago with radio and television. You had to have money. But now with the internet, anybody can be on the internet. Anybody can make a YouTube channel. Anybody can do anything and get on there and attract an audience. In fact, a lot of these preachers and some of the most prominent ones today have made their mark and have become very famous because of YouTube. And they've built their church primarily through YouTube. People have left their homes, moved to their cities, and joined their church. And so it's not necessarily that they're winning people in their area, but they are winning people through the internet, and people are flocking to them almost like a cultist would follow a leader down to the jungles of South America. It's a strange thing. And the Apostle Peter warns us here about false teachers. And the first thing we want to look at tonight, and I'll give you several points from the first three verses that we read, is what does a false teacher look like? How can you identify a false teacher? It's funny, sometimes you watch the internet and they say, today a suspect in California, two suspects killed three girls, but they don't tell you what the suspect looked like. How can we look for somebody if you won't tell us what they look like? They just said males. Well, that narrows it down to about 3 billion. So now we've narrowed the search, and even that doesn't narrow it down because today they might be males and tomorrow they may identify as a tree. So who knows what these people are? Well, we want a description. We want to know what exactly they look like. What does a false teacher look like? And the Apostle Peter tells us through the Holy Spirit of God what to look for in a false teacher. We see, first of all, the sphere of their ministry. And again, verse number one, he says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. A false teachers arise basically when a church begins to embrace the worldly culture around it. You know, we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we are in this world and we may dress in some fashion of the world, we are not to be of the world. We are to be different from what everybody else is doing outside those doors. And when the church begins to embrace the world, as a result, the congregation no longer desires or endures or holds to a sound or healthy doctrine from the Word of God. We don't want that anymore. We want the things the world has to offer. The entertainment of the world, the things the world does, but we certainly don't want the Word of God. It's sometimes people come in the church and they say, you know, I'm here because I want to learn the Word of God. And as soon as they begin to learn the Word of God, they don't come back because they didn't like what they heard, because what they heard contradicted what they believe or what they've been taught or what they want to believe. But we always have to conform to the Word of God. And the church here, and any church, any true church, is not here to conform to the people, but the people are to conform to the Word of God, the church itself. A biblical emphasis on sin, when we preach about sin, when we preach upon repentance, when we talk about holiness, that has been replaced today in our churches by the idea of self-esteem or our felt needs instead of what God says about things. And so the false teachers will cater to the flesh. They will cater to what the people want. And again, people look for teachers who proclaim only positive ideas. We have people come here and say, you know, I like you, Pastor Matt. I like the people in the church. But really, I'm looking for positive messages all the time. And listen, the Word of God it's positive, but it's going to convict us. And that is there to teach us what's wrong. You know, God created us in a way that He gave us nerve endings all throughout our entire body. And anytime we do something that's wrong, those nerve endings will notify our brain, stop doing what you're doing. Don't touch that. Don't walk there. Don't taste that. That's wrong. That's bad. And those nerve endings are there to warn you. Now, wouldn't it be terrible if we say, you know what? I want to get rid of my nerve endings because I don't like being told what's bad. I don't like being told this. I shouldn't be walking on glass in my bare feet, or I shouldn't be touching hot things. It'd be foolish to even consider such things. But the Word of God is there to convict us and show us what's wrong in our life. And again, the warning from Scripture is very clear that false teachers will arise. And where do they arise? They arise in the church itself. They arise in the church and create, they gather people to themselves, and they eventually break off, or they may even take over a church itself and vote the pastor out. But that's where false teachers come from. You can study the history of every false teacher and every single one of them, whether it's Charles Russell or Joseph Smith or any of them, all began in a church somewhere, and they broke off into some false theology. So we see the sphere. And the fact that church is one of Satan's primary sphere of operation. Don't forget that Satan is not working in the local bar. He doesn't have to work in the bar. He's already got them, people. Satan's sphere of operation is the church itself. I must work in the church. I must work to destroy this organism. Cancer cells don't attack other cancer cells. They attack good healthy tissue and go after that and seek to destroy that and to consume it. And then they grow and grow from there. So God is warning us here. And this is why God gave pastors. And so many times people don't want church because they don't want a pastor. They don't want people to tell them what they do. We had a young man come to church here many years ago. I was in here on a Saturday working, and he walked in. He said, "You the pastor?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Can you pray for me?" He said, "I've been sick. I was up here at the hospital when the hospital was open. And they gave me some bad news. Can you pray for me?" I said, I'll pray for you." We talked for a little bit. "What church do you go to?" "Well, I really don't go to any church. I belong to the invisible church." I'm like, "Well, where is that? I found that one yet." There's no such thing as the invisible church. That is a made-up doctrine. You get that out of Catholicism almost. It's the idea that every believer, every born-again person makes up the church of Christ, and so every believer everywhere, and that's not what we find in the Bible. Every church in the Bible was a local church. Someday, everybody will be gathered together and will be the church in heaven, but right now, we are local churches. No such thing as an invisible church. So we talked for a little while. I said, the invisible church. I said, well, let me, and he got a little, you know, I can be very patient with anybody who comes up with crazy. I can deal with them. But the minute they start coming at me, and they bring the claws out, and they start getting, you know, like, you're wrong, then that's when I take the gloves off, and I'm nice, but I'm no longer going to be. So I said, let me tell you what. Why don't you go to the invisible church and ask them to pray for you? Why don't you ask the invisible church to minister to and meet your needs? You know, and we went back and forth, but he never came back. I guess he's hanging out in the invisible church somewhere, in the invisible boatmobile or invisible airplane with Wonder Woman. I don't know where he's at. But my friend, there's no such thing as an invisible church. Everybody arises, and Satan wants to attack the church itself. He says also in this verse, he talks about how they have damnable heresies. We see their secrecy. Not only their sphere of operation, but their secrecy. And that word damnable means utter ruin. It speaks of final and eternal condemnation of the wicked. In this context, the term indicates that the antics of these men have disastrous eternal consequences, both for them and their followers. Anybody who follows Mormonism, anybody who decided to follow Joseph Smith and believe his doctrine, which is the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormonism, and then they followed Brigham Young because they finally shot Joseph Smith because he was such a liar and conniving polygamist that they finally shot him, and Brigham Young rose up. Out in his town, they couldn't take him anymore, and they shot him. And so Brigham Young rose up. But these people follow that. Anybody who follows Mormonism is going to hell. Anybody who follows Charles Russell and the Watchtower Association or the Jehovah Witnesses are going to hell. And both groups deny the existence of hell, by the way. Anybody who follows the Pope of Rome and his teachings is going to die and go to hell. Because the teaching of Rome is not biblical. There is no salvation in the Catholic Church or in crackers, juice, or sacraments. There's only salvation in Jesus Christ by grace through faith. They are damnable heresies. Utter ruin. Again, this Greek word has a sense of, again, damnation. It can be used to describe those who go through the wide gate. The Lord Jesus Christ is very clear. In Matthew's gospel, he said that wide is the gate that leads to hell. Broad is the path that goes to destruction. Many people are going that way. There's a lot of people on the road to hell. And the gate to heaven is narrow, and very few are going that way. It's a narrow gate. There's only so many people making it through there. And this is seen all throughout Scripture. It talks about the doom and judgment that falls upon men. And Peter marked those heresies as contrary to the gospel. And these people are bad. Anybody, and again, well, what's a damnable heresy? I gave you some. The idea that in Mormonism, that you follow their teachings, you get baptized for the dead, you wear holy underwear, and on it goes. That you have to do a 2-year missionary stint. And that's going to provide you with salvation, that you may live on your own galaxy. Every Mormon is a god in embryo form. When you die, you are going to become a god. And as a god, you will have thousands of wives. And with those thousands of wives, you will fill your galaxy with children. That's Mormonism. That's insanity. Insanity, but yet they believe that. Every Mormon thinks that they are a god in embryo form. Every Mormon believes that God the Father in heaven was once a man who became so good he became God. Every Mormon believes that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are actual brothers. And that God asked both of them for a plan of salvation, and God the Father liked Jesus' plan and didn't like Lucifer's plan. So Lucifer got upset and rebelled against his father. And by the way, they don't teach this anymore, but original Mormonism, they don't teach this anymore, but it's what they used to teach. And they deny this, and you can find, you have to archive it, but this is Mormonism. They used to teach that the children of Lucifer once had black skin. That's original Mormonism doctrine. Now, they kind of done away with that. And if you asked them, no, we never taught that. Oh, yes, you did. It's in your books. But they kind of erased that out of their books. It's amazing how that works out now, isn't it? But that's damnable heresy. This is bad as Christians who, by the way, said that the mark of Cain is having your skin turn black. That's insanity. Just as bad. You follow Mormonism, you follow any of those people, and again, you see these people. I watched an episode a few weeks ago, a month ago, on Jim Jones, a cult leader who took his church out to California, and then he took them down to the jungles of South America, and then killed them all. Over 1,000 people, I think. Well, close to 1,000 people were killed back there. I think it was 77, 78. Do you guys remember the year that took place? About that time frame. And they were killed by drinking poison Kool-Aid and also shot down there in the jungles of South America. Jim Jones might have been, if he didn't go nuts, might have turned out to be one of the great civil rights leaders, because he was very pro-civil rights back in his day. But he went crazy with his doctrine and thought himself to be Jesus Christ himself, and 1,000 people followed him to the jungle. That's damnable. They all died and went to hell because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They believed in Jim Jones. Again, that word heresy, it also denotes an opinion. It especially is a self-willed opinion. A heresy is something that you do that's contrary to the Word of God. This is what I think. And be careful as a Christian that you never say, well, this is what I think. Your verbiage ought to be, this is what the Bible says. If I want to know what you think, I want to know, what do you think about baseball, soccer, the weather, politics? Then I can ask you what you think. I don't want to know, what do you think about Jesus Christ? I want to know, what does the Bible say? How do you interpret the Word of God on Jesus Christ? And we can go from there. I'm not here to give you my opinion tonight. I am telling you what the Scriptures teach you. And heresy denotes a self-willed opinion, which is a substitute for submission to the power of truth. We don't want to submit to the truth of God's Word. Charles Taz Russell, the founder of the Watchtower, the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, didn't like the doctrine of hell. It scared him as a boy. So you know what he did? He started his own religion and erased it. There's no hell. It's all made up. It's a misunderstanding of Scripture. And so it just means the grave. There is no place called hell. And so Charles Russell said it doesn't exist. And all his followers don't believe in hell. Well, guess what? There's a hell. That's a self-willed opinion because he would not submit to the truth of God's Word. The term, again, we also want to say that false teachers do not always openly oppose the gospel. Some claim to believe it. You have to press some false teachers before you can finally get the truth out of them, especially Mormons. I caution you to be careful with dealing with Mormon missionaries as you meet them, because you're not going to convert them. I know men who spend their entire life dealing with Mormonism, and they'll always tell you you're never, ever going to convert a Mormon missionary because they're not going to do it. They'll be converted later on, but while they're on that 2-year mission trip after high school, I've never seen anyone get converted. And don't believe these guys who simply say, if you just lead them down the Romans road, they get saved, because it doesn't work that way. They have the same words. And so you're using the same words that they're using. The only difference is, in their mind, the definitions are different. And so you're using biblical words, but the way they mean those words are totally different. So you have to take time with some people. You have to go over things very carefully and use and make sure they understand the definition of the words and they believe the definition of those words. But in dealing with Mormonism and their false teachings and their heresies, they don't openly admit what they believe. Again, as I dealt with Mormons, I've asked them, I said, do you believe that that God the Father was a man who was so good he became God? And they skirted the question. I wouldn't go anywhere. I kept going right back over and over. About the fifth time, one of them finally screamed, yeah, of course we believe that. Well, where else did he come from? I said, why didn't you say that in the first place? Why were you skirting the answer? Why were you not giving me the answer? Because they know it sounds crazy, or they know that we won't believe it. And we shouldn't believe it because it's not true. God the Father was never man. What's the Bible say? From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God the Father did not have parents. God the Father did not become so good he became God. God was always God. Well, I can't figure that out. Because he's God, that's why you can't figure it out. If you could figure out God, he ceases to be God. It's not too difficult right there. We also see, and as they don't always oppose the scriptures, but they misrepresent it, or they offer a shallow, inadequate message that cannot save, because their teaching, again, is as lethal as it is subtle. We see in this verse, chapter 2, in verse number 1, he talks about their damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. He says here, we see their sacrilege. He uses the word even there, even. And that word, that conjunction, underscores the unthinkable magnitude of the false teacher's arrogance, a pride that is evidenced itself by denying the Lord. They deny the Lord. Now, does this mean they say Jesus Christ is not? They don't come out and say that. Again, defining is a strong term meaning to refuse, to be unwilling, or firmly say no. As we think about what is going on here, that word Lord, again, is a word that we get sovereign ruler or Lord. The word appears 10 times in the New Testament, always refers to one who has supreme authority. It refers to the master of a household or an estate, one who has full authority over servants. The thing with these people, with false teachers, is they may say, they can say, verbally say, Jesus Christ is Lord. But it's the idea, is Jesus Christ their Lord? Do they actually submit to the authority of Jesus? That's what he's talking about here. And I've had to deal with some people who are extreme literalists. And be careful of extreme literalists. What's an extreme literalist? For instance, I had a friend to me say, Matt, do you believe the King James Bible? I said, yes, I believe the King James Bible. He says, do you believe turtles will talk when Jesus returns? What? Do you think turtles will talk when Jesus Christ returns? I don't know. The Bible says so. I said, really? Where? And he showed me a verse in the Song of Solomon where it says, the turtle shall shout and rejoice. I said, well, that's really the word turtle dove. No, it says turtle. But it's turtle dove. It's shortened. But it's turtle dove. It's a bird. No, it says turtle. Okay, turtles will talk. Them, Raphael, Michelangelo, they're all talk. You can't get anywhere with people like that. You walk away from them. They're literalists and they're crazy. And it's people like that that make the rest of us King James people look nuts. Because they're expecting turtles to talk and eat pizza and everything else. No, it's a turtle dove. It's just a shortened version of the word. But since our King James Bible says turtle, it's got to be a turtle. We're talking snapping turtle? What? But a literalist also will tell you that a false teacher can never say the words, Jesus Christ is Lord. They'll stumble over it, but they can never. No, they can say it all day long. It's the idea, do they mean it? Do they practice it? I say Jesus Christ is my Lord, and by so doing, I submit to his authority. This is why I don't do certain things, because my Lord told me don't do that, so I don't do that. That's what that means. Do it. It means everything to do with the Lord himself, denying the Lord. They deny his deity. And again, they can say these things, but they deny the submission to him. That's the thing with a false teacher. This is where understanding false teachers. False teachers will not submit. Why do false teachers arise? Because they don't want to sit under the authority of somebody else. They're too spiritual to sit on. This is why people don't go to church. Well, I'm too spiritual to sit under one man. That's why I go here and I go here and I'm in this church and I'm over here. And that's why their doctrine is so whacked out, because they can't sit under the authority of one man. They're too spiritual for that. And I'm not saying I'm a giant and everything. But again, God gave positions in the church, and God told the Christians to get in a church and submit to what? Authority. I have to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Brother Jordan, in your question, yes, they deny the deity. They deny a lot of things. But in the context of what we're talking about here, it's not submitting to him and who he is. This idea that they've been, we see in this verse, that he says that they deny the Lord who bought them. This means to purchase or to redeem out of the marketplace. And again, the false teachers of Peter's day claimed Christ as their Redeemer, yet they refused to accept his lordship. Again, thus revealing their true character as really the enemies of biblical truth. Christ purchased mankind. We've been bought with a price, the Bible says, but they deny that. They won't have anything to do with that. In verse number 2, we see their success. The Bible, he says in verse number 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Again, the Bible is very clear that more people follow the broad way that leads to destruction than adhere to the narrow way that leads to life. Look at Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is a false teacher. And it doesn't take much. And people will defend him because they like Joel Osteen, because he doesn't say anything offensive. Years ago, when Larry King had his TV show, Joel Osteen was on there, and Larry King was a good interviewer. You may not like the man, but he did do a decent interview. He would ask decent questions, depending on who the guest was. He would ask him questions, and he had several people on there. And Joel Osteen, Mr. Osteen, Pastor Osteen, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Well, Larry, that's not really my thing. I'm here to try to encourage people and help them and tell them about Jesus, but he wouldn't answer the question. I was watching that episode, probably only three episodes I ever watched, but like I'm screaming at the television, yes, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Reverend Osteen, if someone's a Buddhist or someone's a Muslim, does that mean they're not going to heaven because they don't believe in Jesus Christ? Well, Larry, again, I really don't want to get into that. That's not my thing. Well, that is your thing. I had to go to the hospital one time. I was standing waiting in the hospital to visit somebody. I was waiting outside the room. I could see into the room. I was waiting for the nurse to finish with the patient. And I was standing there, and the nurse walks up to me, and she goes, and she asked me a very strange question. This is the only time I've ever been asked this question. And she says, can I help you? What do you do? Like that. I said, that's an odd question. And I thought, my brain went into full gear. What do I do? And in a split second, I tell people how to go to heaven. Amen. I tried to give her a cuss, and she said, okay, thank you. She walked away. She went, I guess she didn't like my answer. She was afraid of my answer. Well, that's what I do. I tell you how to go to heaven. And then I also tell you how you can live victoriously for Christ while you're here. Amen. That's my job, is to tell you how to go to heaven. And I'd be a poor preacher if I didn't tell you how to go to heaven. And my friend, according to this book, there's only one way to heaven. And what my master told me is, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only one door. I am the door. There's only one door. Jesus Christ is that. What about the Buddhist? He's not making it. What about the Confucian? He's not making it. What about they're not making it? That's why we get the gospel to the world. Of course, according to this book, Jesus Christ is the only way. But they are successful because they never preach this message. Their message is something else. But all these men, and there's hundreds of them, and women too, in the ministry now, building large ministries, 1,000 seats auditorium, tens of thousands of people in these ministries. And you say, how can they fill these stadiums? I mean, Joel Osteen bought an old basketball arena down there in Houston and fills it up with 20,000 people on a Sunday and multiple services. How does he do that? Because he's not saying anything.
And they pay
for a seat. Do they pay for a seat? My soul is as bad as the NBA and the NFL. My friend, it's wicked. That's why he built a $10 million mansion. And God's servants usually are living where they live. We see here again their sensuality. He says that many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, understand that through these false prophets, by reason of whom the way of truth shall not be found, pernicious ways. The Apostle Peter here is warning about something in these verses, and it's really the idea of sensuality. Their pernicious ways, their sensual ways. That word pernicious means sensual. They're sensual. Peter emphasizes the false teacher's lewdness. The man of God should be of moral character. And when leaders are not of moral character, 9 times out of 10 they're false. It's almost saying good men don't fall. They do. But if you look at Isaac, I don't want to go into it, but you just, again, the sensual. How many of these guys seduce church members? We call ourselves Independent Fundamental Baptist. In the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement, there are false teachers. They'll go to our meetings, they'll carry a King James Bible, they'll wear a suit and tie, and they do everything we do, but they're sensual. They're perverted. They prey on the weak in the church and seduce the weak in the church. I can name names. These names are on the internet. They're wicked people. Again, just because they say Independent Fundamental Baptist, you check things out and you watch things. You see what goes on. Because they rejected the Lordship of Christ, again, why would a man be sensual when his Lord tells him you're not to be sent, to flee youthful lust, to don't do the... Because he's not submitting to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have one wife. God gave me a wife. That's my wife. There's none other in my life. Why? Because that's what my Lord told me. I don't think I couldn't afford another one if he said he'd have two of them. I said, no, this is good enough. I can't. We're struggling with the one. But when a man has girlfriends and all this other nonsense going on, he's not submitting to the authority of the Word of God. You want to submit to the authority of the Word of God. My Lord said, this is what I do. I'm not to be immoral before marriage, in marriage, after marriage. I'm to be pure. That's what my Lord wants. That would mean I'm submitting to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no restraints on their fleshly desires. They give themselves over to everything. They're decadent behavior. It's compared to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. And again, I'm trying to quickly go through all these here tonight. He says in verse number 2, again, near the end of this verse, he says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The word of God, the word of truth, the right doctrine, and the accurate proclamation of the gospel, because of false teachers and spiritual wreckage they leave behind, the biblical message, again, has been reproached in the eyes of the world. you can't believe those Christians. Look what they did. Look what so-and-so did. Look at this guy, what he did. You know, I just saw the headline. I didn't read the headline, but some nun was just arrested. She's retired. They arrested her because she embezzled over close to $900,000 from the church to pay for her gambling addiction. I guess she had a bad habit. Thank you. All right. And people say, oh, see, you can't trust it in people. Or a preacher falls into sin. Oh, look at those people do. And the world speaks evil of the Church of Jesus Christ because of what the false teachers do. They ignore all the good teachers and all the preachers who have sacrificed and all the Christians who do right, and they'll jump on that one bad example. And because of them, the word of truth shall be evil spoken of. I don't go to church. Why? It's filled with hypocrites. You know, people who say that usually are hypocrites themselves. They got issues themselves. Everybody, all you Christians are all the same. Well, no, we're not. Do we have... The doors are open. Anybody's welcome to come in here. But you can't... Is Judas Iscariot an example of a follower of Jesus Christ? No, he's not. Was he a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, yeah, in a way. But do we judge all Christians by the example of Judas Iscariot? Of course not. He's a false teacher, false disciple. But the world looks to the people of like the Judases of the world and say, see, that's what Christians do. That's how Christians act. And this is the stigma we see here. And we have to be careful. He says in verse number 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. We see their motive. False teachers are ultimately motivated by a fascination with false doctrine and, again, rebelliousness. But the most one thing that they do that he talks about here is their love for money. Their love for money. That is one way to spot a false teacher is their love from why are they in the ministry? You know, I didn't get in the ministry to get rich. If I did, I'm failing really bad. I'm just messing this whole thing up real bad. I'm like a Major League Baseball player who's had 300 at-bats and hasn't hit the ball once. All right? And, but yet they keep me on the team. Something wrong there, okay? My friend, false teachers are motivated by money. And that's why they get in the ministry, because of money. You know, George Mueller, the famous preacher, his father made him join the ministry because he said, you'll have a rich lifestyle. You'll get rich. And so George Mueller was a drunk and a pervert and everything else and was training for the ministry till one night something happened. At a prayer meeting, he got saved. And God changed his life. And George Mueller was never rich, but God blessed him and God took care of him. But, you know, join the ministry, you'll get rich. And people join the ministry because they can make money at this if they do it the way the world tells them to do it. This is why you see these guys, you know, with their own private jets. Guys wearing $1,000 suits. I have saw one guy on TV, he says, Jesus wants me to have a $1,000 suit. You know, Jesus, when he was here on earth, Jesus wore the best. If Jesus was here today, he'd be wearing Jesus would be wearing a Gucci suit and $1,000 shoes if Jesus was here today. I'm like, dude, the clothes he had, somebody made for him. He didn't buy that seamless garment. Somebody made it for him. If I read my Bible correctly, he said, the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Right. I'm sleeping in the garden. I'm sleeping outside at nights. Me and the boys don't have comfortable beds. We're dependent upon the kindness and generosity of strangers and friends in this thing. Jesus wasn't wearing Gucci suits and robes. He was poor and walked amongst us. But they don't follow that. Yes, my friend. It does. We don't have to go too much into it, but again, it's the idea of being immoral and leading people straight into immorality. It's feeding the flesh. And one thing we learn from Scripture, God tells us not to feed the flesh, that we're to die daily. And yet the false preacher is a sensual preacher, that he goes into these homes. And the Bible uses the word silly women laden with lust. It's, again, you understand what that means without me explaining it to you. And what's going on there, what the Bible's warning you about. And that's why, and I say this carefully tonight, and I've known some, I don't know them personally, but I just know about them, some preachers who have gone from church to church to ministry and have wrecked marriage after marriage after marriage, multiple marriages and churches. And the one thing somebody told me who knew about the man, he said what he did is he always preyed on women that had weak husbands. That's how they did that. Because if he ran up to a man who was a strong husband, that guy would have shot him and done away with him. But they always found the weak husbands and then went after. That's wicked. But you have to understand, you say, we shouldn't talk about this. Now, this is the world we're living in. You have to have some sense of what's going on. But Peter is warning us here. Paul warns about these things. And we have to have the Word of God to instruct us. Be careful to protect our wives, to protect our daughters from these people that are out there. Because they are out there. They are sensual. They're in it for the money and what money they can get out of it. And to exalt themselves. Again, these guys with million-dollar homes, these guys with a $50,000, $70,000 car every year. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. You say you shouldn't have a nice home. I'm not saying you can't have a nice home. I can't say you have a nice car. I'm simply saying if that's what you're doing, for they're usually false. The T.G. Jakes of the world, the Paula Whites of the world, the Kenneth Copelands of the world, and on and on. Remember, some of you might be too young, but these two guys and even though Miss Yesenia is very young here, she might remember back in the 80s. She was a teenager back in the 80s. Remembers the PTL network with Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker. And everything to them was about money. And what was Jim Baker is the epitome of what he's talking about here. I mean, they had an air-conditioned doghouse. They had all this money, yet he was a perverted, wicked man who basically was brought down because of perversion. Back in those days, I remember when that whole thing collapsed. And I said, "See, that's what Christians do." The PTL network, which stands for Praise the Lord, see, they're all the same. Jim Baker's a big phony. Jim Baker was a big phony. His wife was a big phony. Jim Baker went to jail, and she married some other gold digging preacher. She dropped him like a hot potato and jumped onto somebody else who had more money. She was a wicked thing. So God warns us in Scripture, and their motive is always about money. Their motive is always about for themselves and feeding themselves and satisfying themselves. And so that's the first thing we see here as he's warning us about false teachers and who they are and what they do. And so again, our first point that we got through tonight, and we'll try to move more a little quickly as we go on, is again, avoiding false teaching by understanding false teachers. You can only avoid them if you know who they are. And in these first three verses, he gives us a portrait. This is what they look like. This is their picture. This is the policed sketch of what they look like. Look out for this man. Stay away from this man. He's a dangerous man. Now today, in modern day America, stay away from this woman. Because she, same thing. Father, bless the time, bless the hour now. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to take an offering tonight for the work of the Lord and have our ushers come on down here and help us in taking the offering. Does anybody need an envelope tonight for your record of giving? I always do like the month of June here at church. I think June and December are my two favorite months for church times. A lot goes on this month. We have Father's Day coming up. We have Ice Cream Sunday, Graduation Sunday, Vacation Bible School, a lot of exciting things this month. And so be praying about all the things we're trying to do and have coming up. We got camps coming up in the summer. Andrew and Abby will be going to music camp up in New England. We're excited about that, and that'll be a blessing. And Andrew's learning to play the piano. And so you're going to play the piano for us one day, an offertory? What's that? You just get good enough, and you talk to Ethan and Sarah, and let us know when you're ready, and we'll let you play for us. We look forward to it, my friend. All right, so he's going to go there. And so a lot coming up. This is a good month to be praying about everything. Let's pray. We'll ask God to bless the offering used to meet the needs here and to bless the church. And Evan, please pray.
Thank you for tuning into our live stream service. I pray that it was a blessing to you. I want to ask you a question. Are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? If your answer is no, maybe so, or I don't know, I want to tell you that the Bible tells us that we can be 100% sure. If we look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So firstly, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners, you and me both. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So secondly, the Bible tells us that the wages or the punishment of sin is eternal death, is eternal hell. Romans chapter, the same verse, Romans chapter 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So thirdly, the Bible tells us that salvation is eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say that it's through being a good person or through good works. It's through Jesus Christ who paid the wages for our sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So lastly, the Bible tells us that we shall be saved. Thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that we might be saved or God doesn't say I'll think about saving you. It says thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So it's that simple, my friend. So I pray that nobody that's watched this live stream service goes to sleep tonight without knowing their eternal destination, without knowing that they're 100% sure whether they're going to heaven or not. If you're still unsure, please feel free to reach out to us. God bless you.